We're going to be looking at a section of Scripture that I think is familiar to many of you. It is a... There is an urgency to this section. It is the evening that Jesus Christ is going to give himself over to be crucified. There is incredible teaching. And as I said, there's a real urgency to some of the things he's saying and instructing. But it is done with a tenderness, a peace, and an awareness that only Jesus Christ could do. And while he's teaching and instructing these men, he is the example of what it is he is teaching as he's teaching it. And if you have eyes to see, it is it's a thrilling thing, and it's a humbling thing to watch. We're not going to be able to cover all of these records, but we're going to concentrate on those sections of teaching that have to do with Spirit, with the giving of Holy Spirit, the Comforter or the Helper. So we're going to begin in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. The kids are excited about turning to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 15. And verse 15 reads, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." This is how it's translated in the English Standard Version. I think it's Comforter in the King James. But it's from the Greek word parakletos. Okay? And this will help us to understand, and we'll see this as we go through these sections in the Gospel of John. Its broad meaning is to assist, is to help, is to intercede, is to strengthen, it's to give aid. Okay. It means to call to one side to comfort. When I read this word, there are certain records in the word that I picture that help me to understand this. One of them might be when Jesus Christ is in the garden and he's praying and he's asking God to remove this cup from him. And by this point, he is realizing that the depths and the horror that await him as the sacrificial lamb for all of mankind. And it says that he was in an agony. He was in a grief, sweat, as it were, of great drops of blood. And it says that an angel came and strengthened him. I don't know what transpired, but that angel strengthened or ministered to him. He helped him in some way. Perhaps another record that sort of draws a picture. Jesus Christ was the one who was teaching these men. He was the one that was with them. And there's a wonderful record when he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. You can read about it in the Gospel of Luke, a couple of Gospels. And when he comes down from the mount, he finds several of his disciples arguing with and being questioned by the scribes. And his disciples were not able to heal a young boy that was being tortured by demons. And this is what Jesus Christ walked in the middle of. And when he walked up, he said, "What is it you question these men?" And then he stepped in and took charge and ended up healing the boy. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the helper, of one who helps? And, you know, as we look at this, this idea of helping is, it's all-encompassing. It is not helping you to be a better you. It is helping you to be who you are and what you are in Christ, which is a new creation. Okay. Without Spirit, without this Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is teaching these men about, we cannot do the things that we are charged to do. We can't love like he charges us to love. And then it goes on in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." You know him, talking to these men. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Spirit of truth. Here we begin to see some of the qualities or the specific qualities. As a Spirit of truth, this helper, Holy Spirit, cannot lie. It cannot lie. All that it says, all that it imparts, all its words, all its instruction, all its help, all its teaching is of the truth, and it is truth. Its wisdom, its actions, all of it are truth. And the world can't receive this, which is what he's teaching these men. The world can't receive this, can't understand this. Why? Because the world is blind. In John 7, Jesus Christ testified to or makes known the darkness, makes known the evil deeds, makes known, and we'll see this as we go, sin. See? That's what it does. And so the world can't receive this. And as we go through this, you know, I just want to point something out here. Because Jesus Christ spends time teaching this, there is conflict. There is conflict between the world, Holy Spirit. There's conflict between those who are sons of disobedience and those who are in Christ. And as we see this, and I want you to become aware of this, is that that is one of the things that Holy Spirit, that this helper, helps with. This helper, this Holy Spirit, will help to open the eyes, open the hearts. Isn't that something? And we'll see that as we go. I want you also to note that this helper is called the Spirit of Truth. And hearkening back to what Jim shared last week, the Word of God is called the Word of Truth. They are both of the truth, and our truth. As a matter of fact, we got the word from men who were moved by what? Holy Spirit. That's right. So, he dwells with you and will be in you. Then it says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And this means to be left helpless or destitute without resources. I'm not going to do that. Yet a little while, verse 19, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father. And you in me, and I in you. As we go through this, we're going to see that they were full of sorrow and grief over what it was Jesus Christ was saying. They knew that Jesus Christ was leaving, that he was not going to be with him. But they didn't understand all of why. And they weren't really concerned so much with where Jesus Christ was going as they were concerned with their being without him. Isn't that human? It's so human. But he's teaching them. But there would be a day. There's going to be a day. And it's not going to be in the too far distant future. Where they're going to understand. They're going to get it. They're going to see it. See? And they're going to have a communion and a fellowship with Jesus Christ and with the Father that they had not had previously. See? That's coming. They didn't quite see it now, but Jesus Christ is teaching them. He's preparing them. You will. You will. Isn't that beautiful? How he's caring for these men. Then it says in verse 21, whosoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I think King James says our abode with him. I wanted to mention this because that word that's translated home in the ESV or abode in the King James Version, it's only used one other place other than here, okay? And it's in the opening of this section in verse 2. And it's where Jesus Christ says, in my Father's house are many, and the word rooms is this word. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? See, in my Father's house. Isn't that something? Here, he and the Father, by way of Spirit, will make their abode in us. But there is a day coming when we will be with Jesus Christ face to face. And God himself will dwell with us. Isn't that amazing? But for now, see? Verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In the preceding verse, he says, these things have I spoken to you while I am still with you. See, what Jesus Christ is saying, look, I have been your teacher. I have spoken all that the Father has given me to say. He says that in chapter 17 in his prayer. Hence, everything that he said was of the truth and was truth. Now there's a change coming, and this is what he's instructing him, and it's going to be wonderful. Jesus, having come in the name of the Father, was God's emissary to the world. And he showed the world who God was. He showed the world God's character, God's care, God's tenderness, God's love for mankind as God's emissary. This helper, which the Father would now send in Jesus' name, would be the emissary of Jesus Christ, having the same care and the same concern for the things of God that Jesus Christ had. See? And that helper, that Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is teaching about, is what enables those who believe on Jesus Christ to be able to love like God loved and to become more and more Christ-like. And represent Jesus Christ well. Then he says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And I wanted to take a moment here. For the most part, the peace that the world offers is it's an absence of conflict. An absence of conflict between two people, perhaps, or between nations, or between any groups. There's an agreement. And that agreement that peace will last as long as it's beneficial. See? But this peace that Jesus Christ is talking about, this is a peace that encompasses all of life. This is a peace that emanates from a relationship with the true God. See? This peace is not based on circumstances. It's not circumstantial. This peace that stems from right relationship with God, these men were upset, and understandably so, because he was leaving them again, and there was a lot they didn't understand. And here's Jesus facing a horrific death and torture, loving, teaching, speaking, and caring and preparing these men. Isn't that amazing? He was the embodiment of the peace that he was bequeathing to these men and to those who believe on him. See? This was a peace that would be manifest in the intense persecution that they would endure. It's the kind of peace that when Peter was in jail, in prison, he fell asleep. It's that kind of peace. It's the kind of peace where when Stephen was being stoned to death, he had the presence of mind to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Isn't that amazing? It's the kind of peace, and I thought about this, I thought about men through history. William Tyndale, as he was being killed, his last words were, "Lord, open the king's eyes. And 2 years later, the King of England published the Bible. Isn't that something? See, that kind of peace. This is what he was bequeathing. Now we're going to go to John chapter 15. And we're going to begin in verse 18. And I wanted to start here because up to this point, Jesus had instructed them regarding, you know, his relationship with the Father, his relationship with them, their relationship with one another. And here, he's going to instruct them regarding their relationship with the world. Verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So, you know, here in this, in just these couple of verses, we see sort of the chief characteristics of the two kingdoms being spelled out by Jesus. Isn't that something? What is characteristic of the devil's kingdom? What is characteristic of his people is hatred. It is hatred for Jesus Christ. And it's important to keep this in mind because when it comes to being shunned or ridiculed or dismissed or persecuted or those things that transpired when you're walking by spirit, when you're walking in love, when you're endeavoring to hold forth Jesus Christ, those things are not you personally. It is who you serve. See? Those characteristics of the devil's kingdom are set in stark contrast in this context to the main characteristics of the kingdom that's being instituted by Jesus here on the earth, right? Which is love, right? Love one another and love for your fellow man. Again, being in Christ and walking accordingly, there will of necessity be conflict. And this is something that the world unifies around. And what do they unify around? Their hatred of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? As diverse as the world is, they will unify around their hatred of Jesus Christ. There are examples of this in the Word, and there are scriptures that talk about this. One example was Pilate and Herod. You guys remember? They despised one another, but they became friends on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. See, they became unified around that. Isn't that something?
Psalms 2.
Yep, that's another one. You're exactly right, Psalm 2. I wrote down a couple of psalms. Another one is 83, verse 5, and it says, they conspire with one accord against you. They make a covenant. Isn't that something? And the why of that, or part of the why of that, there's a great psalm, a couple of verses in Psalm 17, you can make note of it, in verses 14 and 15, it says, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life, you fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. That's something. That those men of the world that it is addressing here, their satisfaction, their reward is this life. That's it. That's their focus. That's their emphasis. Then it says in verse 20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. They will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Again, that opposition is not because of who you are. It's because of who you represent. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. Period. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. See, they hated me without a cause. And this, by the way, is fulfilled not simply because it was said. It's fulfilled because what was said was true. Because it was said by God who cannot lie. Then verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Okay, this bear witness. It is to testify. It's to bear witness, to affirm, to report well of, to validate, establish as true. Okay. It'll bear witness about me. Jesus Christ, about me, of me. Those are the things that the Helper will do. Even though the world rejected the Christ, the Holy Spirit would bear witness, and we'll read a little bit more about this in a minute. The Holy Spirit would bear witness to the truth that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 27, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. This bear witness about me, I just thought of this. You know, there's many records you could go to in the Word. But I think Jim read this last week from John 7. Speaking of that Spirit, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Words of life. Living words. Jesus Christ spoke living words. Words that impacted, that changed men's lives. Did he not? Didn't Peter do the same thing on the day of Pentecost? I think the result of that was about 5,000 were saved. It says they were pricked in their what? Their hearts. How did that happen? Because Peter practiced that speech? It was what?
It was Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Please understand, as we read here, these things that we're reading, these are not independent of the believers. These are not independent of the church. The Holy Spirit doesn't do what the Holy Spirit does without people who, you know, without people who don't have Spirit. I mean, you got to have Spirit. You got to have Holy Spirit. It is by way of Spirit that Christ and God is made known. See? Do you understand? John 16, and we'll read a few verses here. It says, but I have said these things to you in verse 4 is where I'm starting. I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. So he is sharing the things that we're reading here. This is preceded here by some things regarding persecution. They'll cast you out of the synagogues and so on, so that they would not be caught off guard, so that they would be prepared when those things happened, when those things came. Then verse 5, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. See? Again, they were concerned with themselves at this point. They were concerned regarding themselves and him being gone. They were full of grief. I would have been too. I mean, this is heavy stuff. I think in the garden it says that they slept for sorrow. They were so sorrowful over what they were seeing and witnessing in their Lord, they couldn't take it, and they just fell asleep. They were exhausted. Verse 5 says, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's better. It's to your advantage. It's for your good if I go away. It's important to see that the Helper, Holy Spirit, is not simply being sent to the world. It is being sent to those who believe on Jesus Christ, to the church. Okay. It's through the church, it's through the body of Christ that the Spirit of God does its great work. That's where the love of God is seen in its fullness, according to Ephesians. It's where the gifts and the callings of the Spirit are manifest or evidenced. It's where people can see the love of God and the love for one another being operated. That's why we never want to be among those who think little of, or among those who forsake the assembling of themselves together, or dismiss that as secondary importance. It is where the Word of God lives. It's the pillar and ground of the what?
Truth.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. Then it says in verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The world in its darkness and corruption regarded Jesus Christ as worthy of death, and itself as somehow righteous and passing judgment upon him. Isn't that something? But the truth of it is that in that, the world was judged. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces men of the need for deliverance. Deliverance from sin. And it's the result of that convicting that one is convinced of the need of repentance, or a turning to Christ and his redeeming work. Isn't that something? What an amazing gift that God did, so that eyes could be opened, so that hearts could be opened. See? Then in verse 9 it says, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. It will convict or convince that Jesus is the Christ. Something will click. Something will spark. It happened to every one of us where we believe Jesus was the Christ, that we needed to believe on him. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And this is speaking of that true righteousness that is because of and in the risen Christ, not the self-righteousness of the world. And then verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan, as the one who blinds and rules in the hearts of men, was exposed for exactly who he is at the cross. And then he was crushed at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the manifesting of truth and true righteousness, the righteousness that comes from God, the righteousness that comes from believing on Jesus Christ, and the freedom that is in that, exposes the darkness of unrighteousness and of self-righteousness. Okay? And it also makes clear and will point out how right the coming judgment is, okay, from which you and I have been spared because of Jesus Christ. And then it says, I have yet many things to say to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Isn't that something? That Holy Spirit, that helper, glorifies and brings honor to Christ. Something else here is that this Holy Spirit is not self-willed. Its concerns are the same concerns that Jesus Christ had to bring glory to God. It's not self-willed. It has desires that will bring glory to God and bring honor to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And then we'll close in verse 15. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now there's a lot in these verses that we're not going to spend time with right now. But we get some great insight and some great teaching regarding Holy Spirit. What it is, that it never lies. It is of the truth and is truth. It represents Jesus Christ and the interests of Jesus Christ. It glorifies and brings honor to Jesus Christ. It glorifies and brings honor to God. It helps us to love like God loved. It helps us to become more Christ-like. See? Isn't that something? And it's by way of that Holy Spirit that God dwells in the church. This is his dwelling place. Perfection hasn't arrived. That's okay. It's okay. But there are some amazing things that we have because of Holy Spirit. Do we not? It's amazing when you stop and just think about some of these things. How blessed we are. So, that's what I wanted to share. So I think I'm going to pray. Okay.